Matthew 26, verse 41. Just one verse, read together. Matthew 26, verse 41. We are there? Ready? Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let's pray for a word of prayer. Father, thank you, Lord, for this time. Pray that, Lord, you hide me behind the cross, that, Lord, you will speak to the congregation, Lord, and to those who are on the way, Lord. Grant them speedy and safe journey, Lord. And for those who are overseas, Lord, give them safety, Lord, even as they eventually listen to this message, Lord. Not it's your words, Lord, will touch them, Lord. It's your word will convict them. Lord, as a church, we pray that as you ask, our Lord Jesus say, watch and pray. Help us, Lord, because indeed the spirit may be willing, but the flesh is weak. So help us, Lord, to learn from Jesus today, the example that you have set for us. Thank you once again. Bless this time. And bless even for the rest of the day. Help us, Lord, to understand, even though not to go through this fasting as just a ritual. It's not a ritual, Lord, but it's really to set our heart, Lord. To be focused, Lord, to seek your will and to seek, Lord, you to hear our desire, Lord, for our loved ones, for the church, and for the community, Lord. We thank you once again and pray and ask all this in Christ's most precious name. Amen. Power pack prayers, please be seated, sorry. Power pack prayers for times of war. Now, we are at war, right? Not politically, not physically, not philosophically, but spiritually. We know that. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Now, I'm just going through some of the research before I prepare for this. Millions of souls are destroyed with the devil, with the enemy. I say with the enemy, not by the enemy. I wanted to put by the enemy, then I realized that, hey, Matthew 10, verse 28 says what? Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body, or body and soul in hell. So millions of souls are lost, not because the enemy was caused by the enemy, by anything, or rather destroyed by the enemy, because the enemy doesn't, or the devil doesn't have the power to destroy, okay? But many millions or so are destroyed with the enemy, and many thousand more are going to be destroyed each day. Yet the sad thing is many Christians are not the least bothered, right? Just give you some numbers to think about. Every year, there's about 55 million people die. Every year, 55 million die, right? To bring it closer down, that means to say every day there's 150,000 people in this world die. Okay, or people will pass on from this life every day. I just got news from my friend, an Air Force friend. He's about early 40s. His cancer relapsed. He's just waiting to go. The doctor gave him less than a month. I heard he's a Christian, thank God, but I don't know whether he's a professing Christian, because he was still smoking. And he got cancer, and some people say that he was. But some friends went to visit him recently. He just lied in a bed because the cancer just spread all over the body. Doctors can't do anything. Chemo can't help because all over the body really. And the wounds that happened to his body just cannot heal. So he's just sitting there blankly looking at us, and he couldn't talk. I was just thinking about this, like, you know, when I left the Air Force, like, people asked me, hey, when is the last day? When's the last day? I said, oh, 30th of June. And I was quite very happy, right? I was just thinking about this friend of mine who's dying, right? I say, if you ask him when's your last day, he probably won't say 25th December, 11th November this year, or even Chinese New Year next year. He's just waiting to go anytime. When is your last day? So statistically, over 150,000 people die each day. And then you trend another worldwide statistic, it says if you minus everything, there's about 10% of the world population are Christians. Okay? I excluded Catholics, I excluded Pentecostal, but even the 10% Christian, I don't know really how many are really professional Christian or really saved. But you're not to judge, but I'm just saying 10%. Just keep the fact that it's 10% of the world's population is Christians. It means 135,000 people enter into eternal damnation every day. 135,000. You know, how big is Woodlands? It's just 250,000. So you can imagine, break it down closer to you, slightly more than 50% of Woodlands are gone every day. Can you imagine that? And into eternal damnation. And it also means that by the time we finish this prayer retreat at 2 p.m., another 22,000, perhaps, precious souls are going into hell. It's about 5,600 an hour. Well, do you get tired of hearing a next generation of believers leaving churches, even independent fundamental Baptist church? I was just, again, sharing an experience. I'm in a new workplace. This young man looked very familiar. I said, "Hey, you look very familiar." And I realized he was from one of my former church. I said, "What are you doing here?" "Oh, he tried for pilot training. He couldn't make it. So the first stage, he already failed. So he are here waiting, so-called, you know, the term lobo means waiting around and going to post OCS soon." So I was talking to him, asking how his father, how his mother, you know, because I know the family. And ta-da-da, now I was talking about, doesn't mean anything. Okay, so basically I was talking, I heard a lot of youths are not in the church anymore. And now they are visiting other churches and all this, some of them. I said, yeah. And I realized that, how come he doesn't know a lot of things? Right? This person's not in the church or that person's not. So I asked him a question, "So do you go to church?" Oh, he said, "Stop for a while already." So young people, the next generations are walking away from even independent fundamental church. Are you not tired of hearing all this? Are you not tired of hearing? Again, another experience I share is I was talking to this a parent from another fundamental Baptist church. Anyway, Singapore is so small, you know how many IFB or independent fundamental churches are there. This parent said that that church is sad that the youth are not getting baptized. They don't see a serious need to get committed to God's institution. But what made me sadder was that not the fact that youths are not getting baptized, but the fact that this parent actually sounds very resigned. That, it's happening, that's then end time. That kind of tone, very resigned. And I think it's time for us to fight back. It's time for us to fight. Church age is war age. And when church is war age, it is spiritual warfare. You either get in the fight or you get destroyed. You either get in the fight or you get destroyed. Listen very carefully. I'm not preaching extremism. I'm not preaching fanaticism. If you're not earnestly contending for the faith, Jude 1:3, right, youth, then you're basically wasted. And so how do we contend for the faith earnestly? We need weapons. Like 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, right? "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." That's our weapons. Our weapons are not physical weapons. Our weapons are not carnal. It is mighty, spiritual warfare. So what are our weapons? Our weapons need to be the armor of God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. I'd like everyone to we'll read a bit more. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. So we read one verse only in Matthew chapter 26. Later we'll go back, but just put your finger in Matthew 26, and turn to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 to 18. You all know about armor of God, right? 6, 10 to 18, I'd like to invite everyone to read responsibly. I'll read verse 10, you read 11, and so on and forth. And the last verse we read together. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, I'll read first. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might." Verse 11.
"Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness.
With your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Verse 17.
"And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God."
In verse 18, let's read together. Ready? praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, I was preparing for this. When I look at the word, right, praying always, as you know, the word always, very interestingly. Now, so Bible study actually is very fun. The more you study, there's more thing you learn, and I tell you, it's very fun. I don't know why some people think that Bible study is so boring. The word always here, when I found this, is very exciting. Is that when always here has four meanings. Number one is whenever, always, right? We always thought we always at air all the time, right? But here in the Greek word, always here is whenever, and the other one is opportunity. Whenever opportunity arises for us to pray. Right. So in this context, praying always, right, whenever opportunity arises for us to pray. For example, a brother is sick, right, our son or sister are not well, for example, Sister Nina, we pray for them. Missionary needs, we prayed last yesterday for missionary needs. You know, we heard of Pastor David Cloud's needs, Pastor So's needs, we pray for that. But the third thing about this, always, right, very, very interestingly, right, it means individually and collectively. So praying always means praying whenever opportunity arises to pray individually and collectively. So that gives you a reason for a church prayer meeting, for a church prayer retreat. So nobody can say that, no, the Bible didn't say for us to pray collectively, I can pray at home alone. No, we pray individually and you pray collectively. This is the reason why we have church prayer meeting, and I pray that our church prayer meeting will be filled, right, every Friday night. Right. The next word is here, watching, right? Watching, as we all know, literally means, here in Greek word means sleepless, you don't sleep. Watching means literally be sleepless, be attentive and ready. Now the next word is quite interesting also, thereunto. Watching, thereunto. Thereunto in the Greek word here has twofold meaning. It can mean towards or against, and the second meaning is him or her or itself. So it means, thereunto means toward him or against him. Interesting, right? How do you do toward him and against him? What is the Bible referring to? So actually it's twofold. One, you watch for Christ's return, towards God's return. Christ's return. At the same time, you're watching against the devil. Now, Jesus told us to watch for his coming, right? Matthew 24:42. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord do cometh. And then Peter warned us also to be vigilant, right? Against the devil, our enemy, who is a roaring lion, roam about, whom he may seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter 5:8. No, as you're watching towards God, keep one eye on God, his second coming, and watching against the devil, we're actually checking ourselves. When you watch towards Christ coming, you know that Christ is coming, you better do a homework, you better be on the ball, you better be on fire. And at the same time, you're watching against the devil, you're also watching that you don't fall into the sin, your lust, you give in to your lust, or whatever it is, be it covetousness, pride, whatever. So you're watching, you're checking yourself. So thereunto, watching thereunto has this meaning. Now be vigilant, as in 1 Peter 5:8, right? It's the same word as watch in Matthew 26. It also means to stay awake or wake in 1 Testament 5:10. We read there is whether you wake or sleep. Okay, so we'll turn back to Matthew 26:41 shortly. Why be vigilant? Why be vigilant? Because of dangers and difficulties. How to be vigilant then? How to be vigilant? One, be aware or informed of dangers and difficulties. Therefore, again, you need your Bible study, you need to attend church, you need to come for a Sunday school to learn of the warnings. Okay, that's one way of learning of warnings. Okay, we have Bible studies, we have FBI, we have your attentions. You know, FBI is very good, tell you about the revelation, tell you about the coming, the 7 years of tribulation. All these are warnings. Interesting talk about warning, right? Recently, you all heard about a story. This Air Asia pilot. You see, Pastor Love, right? You know the story, right? This pilot, Captain Aircraft, forgot something. You know, he asked the first officer to do the walk around checks while he go and key in the INS, the international system for the pilots for the navigation. Now, thing is, he's not very well versed. It shows he key in the wrong coordinates. Key in wrong coordinates, computer didn't quite know what it was, but never mind, accepted it. Then, as they start up and they taxi out, along the way, there were warning signs everywhere telling them, this is not correct, you know, this is something is wrong, your calculation is wrong, all this. They didn't bother. They just continue. And then, when they took off, they realized, oh no, can't do anything already. I think, if I'm not wrong, the INS system is such that because after the 911 case, right, when you key in, after you get airborne, you lock, you cannot undo it. Otherwise, people can just do it, change it, and then crash into any other place. So what happened was, instead of the Air Asia was taking off from Sydney, was supposed to go KL. And now, he keyed in a grenade, don't know how, cannot go to KL, he had to go into Melbourne. So imagine you're on that flight. Wow, you gotta wait. So what happened was, you see, the thing is this, about warnings, right? So what happened was, he ignored a warning all through, there was many warning signs, he took off, no choice, he said, can we make a landing back to Sydney? And once you land on ground, you can reset again. So what happened was, they wanted to land back in Sydney. Guess what? The weather was thunderstorm, right? Low cloud base. So mandatory, the international law is you cannot do a pilot manual landing. You need to use an instrument landing, which is an instrument system. No choice. See, he has no choice. He has to divert to Melbourne, which was the coordinate that he set in. So don't ignore the warnings along the way. Time is running out, right? The 11 boy who died, I told you the story. The mother is a colleague. The son is in the same school. So don't ignore my friend who was told less than a month to leave. Don't ignore the warnings, okay? The next thing is how to be alert, vigilant. Stay alert. Stay alert. How to stay alert? One, be clear in your mind. Clear about what? Clear about who is the real enemy. The real enemy is not your brethren. Your real enemy is not another church, independent Father Baptist Church. Who is the real enemy? Clear about who. What is your purpose in life? Okay, writing a book is not your purpose in life. I'm talking to myself, but having said that, no. What, and also clear about what is the number one priority, or who is the number one priority in your life. If you set God as the number one, we know the answer, right? God is the number one priority in our life. But after that, you can do other things, but number one priority should be God. And the last one will be prepared. So this is how you get be vigilant. So we talk about Ephesians chapter 6, right? The whole armor, we all know. But the whole armor needs something. The whole armor of God needs power. And the power comes from God through praying and watching. Ephesians 6 verse 18. So similarly to similar to Matthew chapter 26 verse 41. Let's turn back there, 26 verse 41. You want power in your prayers, ambassador? You want power, my brethren? Pray like Jesus prayed. Pray like Jesus prayed. Now, this Dr. Frederick Edward Marsh, he died in 1931. Okay, he was a Bible scholar. He listed 7 characteristics of our Savior's prayers, but I'll just cover 6 here. Okay, the first one actually about he prayed alone, which is, you know, he was away. He kept Peter, James, and John, and he went alone to pray. We will not touch that. We just talk about 6 characteristics of I'll use his what he shared. 6 characteristics of the Savior's prayer. Okay, first one, you ready? Our Lord Jesus Christ, he prayed in humility. So I hope this will set the stage later when we pray for a whole 4 hours later. He prayed in humility. Matthew 26 verse 39. Matthew 26 verse 31, just a few verses up. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed and saying, fell on his pray. Sorry, face. Here means literally kneeled down. Kneeled down. Okay? If you don't believe, in Luke chapter 24 verse 41 is the same. He, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast and kneeled down and prayed. Our Lord Jesus Christ kneeled down and prayed. He prayed in humility. So, if you can later, make it a point to kneel down if you can. Okay? Because our Lord Jesus Christ prayed in humility. You want power in your prayers? Pray in humility. Our Lord Jesus Christ prayed in humility. He fell on his face. He knelt down. So, if you can later, I urge and encourage everyone to pray and kneel down if you can. Second point, he prayed in filial affection. In verse 39, same. He said, "Oh, my Father." Now, he called God Abba. You know, Abba is a very, very affectionate term, a very personal term. Mark 14, verse 36, same thing, right? He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee," when he asked for the cup to be passed by over him. Now, we are heirs and sons of God, right? Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 7. We are son of God. We can call God, the creator of the whole universe, Abba, Father. You know how affectionate it is. I was looking at this one of this video advertisement showing a smile of this lady lying on the lawn in US Southern California, and it zoomed in from a thief all the way out to the earth, all the way to the galaxy, all the way, don't know, wow. galaxies and galaxies and galaxies and galaxies and so big. And after you zoom in all the way again, all the way onto the smile, and through the smile inside the teeth, the everything, the DNA, everything, all the way until we talk about atoms, and beyond atoms is the quark. I think it's quark. Something like the whole creator of this earth, right? The creator of this whole earth. Sorry, I correct myself. The creator of this whole earth, you can call him Abba. Can you imagine the power you have with you at your disposition or not? He prayed in filial affection. The third characteristic of our Lord Jesus Christ's prayer, he prayed earnestly. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Luke 22, verse 44. I just have three more characteristics. Luke 22, verse 44. And he says, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. So our Lord Jesus Christ prayed in humility, he prayed in filial affection, he prayed earnestly. Okay, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was as if it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now, Luke was a doctor, right? He was a physician. He knew what he was talking about. When he said great drops of blood, it was great drops of blood perspiring from Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think Pastor shared before, this medical condition called hemidrosis. One of the names is called hemidrosis. What does it mean? It's a condition, I just read here, since I'm not a doctor, I just read word for word. It's a condition with capillary blood vessels that feed the sweat glands rupture, causing them to exude blood, occurring under conditions of extreme physical or emotional stress. Now, medical history records shows that there were 6 cases before, and some of them were men who were put or condemned to execution. Some of them was an impending storm. They actually were so stressful and so physically stressed out, they actually sweat blood. Okay. Now, what's the meaning of earnest? Earnest here means intense conviction. And in the Greek word here, it means stretch over. So later when you pray, right, when you pray like our Lord Jesus Christ prayed in earnest, like, all your thoughts, your desires stretch over every single one prayer that you have. If you want your parents to be safe, you want your children to be safe, that desire, that thoughts all must be stretched over one single prayer. And therefore you need focus. Focus is needed. And I would like to urge all the little children here, try not to distract the prayer later. Okay, so try not to distract the prayer later. Okay, when you see your parents or you see the uncles, auntie prays, just observe. Why are we praying? Because we need to pray. Because like Jesus Christ also prayed like that. Pray in earnest. The fourth characteristic is he prayed using the same words, repeatedly. Now, interesting, right? He prayed using the same words. Back to Matthew 26, verse 44. And he left them and went away and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Eh? But Matthew 6, verse 7 says we have to avoid what? Vain repetition. So this is different from vain repetitions. Why? Because we have learned already. Because it is in earnest. It is sincere. It is not vain. It's not idle words or babble that Jesus was praying. Now I ask you, if you are asking God to save your loved ones, right? Do you need to use fanciful words? Do you need to Do you need to be a wordsmith to say, you move the mountain, God, you move this, move the river so that my loved one will be moved, their heart will move? You don't have to. Right? So God, Jesus Christ Himself, pray the same thing. If thy will, not my will, but thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Okay? If this cup pass, you can pass this cup, if not my will, but your will be done. So be direct, be straightforward and clear. Be not afraid to use simple words if you truly mean it. Okay? God save my dad. God save my dad. You know, when I was 13, right, I told you when my dad had an accident. I wasn't a Christian then, 13 years old, but I was in the hospital. I just called Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ save my dad. And of course, Jesus Christ did save my dad from that near-death accident. So use simple words. He prayed using the same words. So, quick recap, he prayed in humility, he prayed in filial affection, he prayed earnestly, he prayed using the same word or repeatedly, and he prayed in perseverance. It's different from using the same word, right? In verse 44 here, Jesus prayed 3 times within an hour for the same thing. Okay, it's not my will, but thy will be done. Do we persevere in prayers? Do we persist in our petitions to the Almighty? We need to be praying in perseverance. The last one is, of course, we know is he prayed in submission. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, right? It says that he prayed in submission. Not my will, but thy will be done. Now, F.E. Marsh has said about will, right? He was probably referring to Adam and Eve or Israel in the wilderness. He said, "My will, not thine be done, turn paradise into a desert." I say again, "My will, not thine be done, turn paradise into a desert. But thy will, not mine be done, turn the desert into a paradise." Right? So how often do we go, how often do we go into prayers asking for our will to be done, for our way to be the way? So let's check ourselves. Pray like Jesus prayed. Okay? He prayed in perseverance, he prayed in submission. So these are the six characteristics of Jesus Christ's prayers. Now, finally, his prayers were answered. His prayers were answered. Why? God did send an angel to strengthen Jesus in his darkest moment. Luke 22, verse 43, 44, you don't have to turn there, saying, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So God did answer Jesus' prayer. And his prayers were answered when God's will was done at the cross. Right? When God's will was done at the cross. Now, I was just thinking, what else did Jesus pray for in the Garden of Gethsemane? Besides praying for God's will to be done, besides praying for, you know, if this will, this cup can be passed from him, I believe he prayed for the disciples. Why do I say that? Evidence from the Bible, in Luke chapter 22, verse 32. Let's turn there. 22, verse 32. Sorry, I'm taking a bit longer, but just bear with me. Luke 22, verse 32. Okay, Jesus said this when he's talking to Peter, Simon, right? In verse 31, and the Lord says, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you that he may sift you as a wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith not fail not, and thou, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Even today, up to today, Jesus is praying for us. In, you don't believe me? And believe the Bible. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, it says here, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercession for us." When we pray today, later, God, Jesus Christ, is also praying for us. He's praying for you to have stronger faith. He's praying for you to persevere. He's praying for you to be submissive to God's will. Okay? So I believe that. And just quickly to share as well, now, I believe Jesus was also preparing the disciples for the immediate and future challenges that they will face. Now, I was always wondering, why none of the disciples stood with him when he was arrested? Why all of them fled, you know? The answer is very simple. It could be very simple, because none of them prayed. When Jesus Christ told them, "Watch and pray," none of them prayed. Now, I mean, the disciples slept not because they were tired, right? Okay, tired is one, but because of sorrowful. They were also very sorrowful, right? In Luke chapter 22, verse 45, you read that they were sleeping out of sorrow. You can actually cry until very tired, cry until you sleep, no? So they were actually very sorrowful as well, not just tired, right? So none of them prayed. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. The example would be Peter, right? He was willing to stand up for Christ, but he was overcome by a momentary weakness in the flesh twice. Once was when he used his own fleshish ways to try to resolve an issue. Remember, when the people came to arrest Jesus Christ, he retaliated and cut off Machias' ear. That was using his own flesh to overcome things. Number two was, of course, he flee and deny Christ out of fear of personal safety. But then, because Jesus Christ prayed for him, right, guess what? You know what happened to Peter, right? He died a martyr death eventually. He still died a martyr death. He was able to overcome his personal fear of safety. You know, he was able to overcome that retaliation, that part when he, you know, Acts chapter 12, we learned yesterday, when the guard caught him, he just slapped in between the two Roman guards. He didn't even retaliate in the sense, right? So we need to watch and pray. The spirit is willing, the soul is sorrowful. Even Jesus Christ, when he said in Matthew 26, verse 30, right, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful." Spirit is willing, soul is sorrowful, the flesh is weak. Are you in this condition today, brother and sister? We need to watch and pray, because the enemy is fierce and the fight is even fiercer. Yesterday we sang Who's on the Lord's Side, right? Remember the song here? It says that fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe. We are fighting against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need power-packed prayers, and we can pray like Jesus prayed. In humility, in filial affections, in earnest, in simple words, even if it's used repeatedly, in perseverance, and in submission